This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. That's what the Jewish authorities said to the man who was healed, made whole, who had been born blind, because he healed on the Sabbath, though he couldn't be of God, even though a great miracle had happened. This is what happened when the Jewish authorities and the powers of be tried to set up, what do we do on the Sabbath? But the Jews themselves seemed to be confused about the Sabbath and how to keep it. In the days of the Maccabees, in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, when he conquered the Middle East, he came against the Jews. He gave the Jews orders, and they were supposed to do them, but they wouldn't do them. So Antiochus Epiphanes moved against them to fight them in a battle, at least some sections of them. And here's what happened. I'm going to read you the account from 1 Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 29 through 39. It goes like this. Then many that sought after justice and judgment went down into the wilderness to dwell there, both they and their children and their wives and their cattle, because afflictions increased sore upon them. Now when it was told the king's servants and the host that was in Jerusalem in the city of David that certain men who had broken the king's commandment, see, Antiochus the king gave them command, were gone down to the secret places in the wilderness, they pursued after them a great number. And having overtaken them, they camped against them and made war against them on the Sabbath day. And they said to them, let that which you have done hitherto suffice. Come forth and do according to the commandment. In other words, we'll give you a chance. Come on out and do according to the king's commandment, and you shall live. And they said, we will not come forth, neither will we do the king's commandment to profane the Sabbath day. So they gave them the battle with all speed. Howbeit, they answered them not. In other words, the king, the Antiochus Epiphanes' forces came against them, and they wouldn't answer. And they came against them with all speed, they wouldn't answer. Neither did they cast a stone at them, nor stop the places where they had hid. In other words, they didn't fortify any of the places where they had hidden, but they said, let us die in our innocency. Heaven and earth will testify for us that you put us to death wrongfully. So they rose up against them. So the Antiochus forces rose up against them in battle on the Sabbath, and they slew them with their wives, their children, their cattle, to a number of 1,000 people were killed that day. But they would not fight because, guess what? It's the Sabbath. We don't fight on the Sabbath. So they were slaughtered. Now, after this a period of time, Matthias, and his friends, they saw this. They were, man, we're going to fight. They're fighting against these forces, and they're struggling to preserve the Jewish integrity and their religion. And when Matthias, I'm going to read now from verse 39 of the same chapter, 1 Maccabees 2. 1 Maccabees is a first-rate historical work. So if you read it, it's not a part of the Bible, but it is a first-rate historical work, and it does outline all the things that happened during that time. So here they said, when Matthias and his friends understood what had happened, They mourned for them right sore, it says. And one of them said to another, if we all do as our brothers had done, if we all will do like this and not fight on the Sabbath, and fight not for our lives and laws against the heathen, they will quickly root us out of the earth. At that time, therefore, they decreed this, saying, whoever shall come to make battle with us on the Sabbath day, we shall fight against him. Neither will we die, all of us, as our brethren did, that were murdered in those secret places and their hidden places. And where they tried to hide, but they were slaughtered, they were murdered. Because, guess what? They didn't fight on the Sabbath day. Jesus knew this. So now the Jews decreed, if we are attacked on the Sabbath day, we will now fight. Because think of it, if somebody said to you, you can't fight on the Sabbath day. And if somebody comes in here and they start to fight and they hit you, anybody who wants to pick on them on the Sabbath day would slaughter them, wipe them completely out. And they're not going to fight. There's no resistance, so you just wipe them out. So they said, no, we have to make an exception. We can fight on the Sabbath day. We can kill on the Sabbath day. We can destroy them. We can do harm. We can throw sticks and stones and everything on to them. So Jesus, when he was doing some healing, what did he say? Well, is it lawful to do harm? Why do we have a law that says it's okay that we can fight battle, war, but we can't heal this poor person here? Why do we have a law that says this? We can go to all this trouble, but we can't do something like that. I mean, he just was amazed. But this is the thing. Now, the Jews had a lot of prohibitions. They had it in the Mishnah. There was a list of 39 main tasks that were prohibited. Now, that wasn't the only thing, but there were 39. I'm going to read some of them here, including sowing, plowing, reaping, binding, threshing, winnowing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, bleaching or dyeing wool, spinning, weaving, tying or untying a knot. So you don't tie your shoes. Sewing or tearing two stitches. If you sew or tear two stitches, one is sewing, the other is tearing it apart. But if you tear more than two stitches, that's it. Hunting, writing or erasing two letters. Building, demolishing, kindling or extinguishing a fire. Hammering, carrying objects from one place to another, and several more. In other words, the list was not complete. They just go on and on with this list. But the list was not complete by any means. The 39 main tasks were further defined elsewhere on other lists of the Mishnah. And then you had the individual judgments of the rabbis. So, hey, Rabbi, is it okay if I do this on the Sabbath? Hey, Rabbi, is it all right if I do that on the Sabbath? So in addition to specifically prohibiting Sabbath activities, the Pharisee tradition also defined various exceptions to the prohibition. For instance, circumcision was an exception on the Sabbath. If the eighth day of your child, you're born here, if the eighth day fell on the Sabbath, it was perfectly okay because that overrode the Sabbath to circumcise him on the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, any regulation could be disobeyed if someone's life was in danger. You'll remember in Matthew, we came to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7, which said, but if you had known, remember Jesus' disciples are walking, where are they walking? Through the grain fields. Where are they going? To church or to the synagogue. That's where they were going. They were headed out and they cut through the grain fields and the Pharisees saw them picking up some grain on the grain field, shucking it, put it in their mouth. They said, your disciples are doing what is not lawful. Jesus tried to explain, well, David did what was not lawful, and the priests profaned the Sabbath, but are guiltless. And then he said to them, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I'm reading now Matthew 12, starting now in verse 9. Departing from there, they went into the synagogues. You see, they just went right into the synagogues, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they questioned Jesus, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him? And he said, what man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful, now this is Jesus now prescription, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So you know that story. That's in Matthew 12. Going now to Luke chapter 13. And he was teaching in the synagogues on the Sabbath. So here we are on the Sabbath. Jesus was a rabbi. He was considered by the Jews of that time to be a teacher, a rabbi, and he would teach on the Sabbath and explain things on the Sabbath to the people. So Jesus was there, and there was a woman of 18 years. She's had this sickness caused by a spirit. She was bent double. She could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And that's what you do, by the way, when you are healed, when you have a blessing. What do? You glorify through thanksgiving to God. But the synagogue official, verse 14, this is Luke 13 now, dropping down to verse 14. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began to tell the crowd. Now, he's an official there, and Jesus was a teacher there, but the official says now, and he wants to override Jesus, he says, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed and not on the Sabbath day." But Jesus answered, now verse 15, "The Lord answered and said," so this is sort of like a little debate here, right, in the synagogue. So this guy says, "Well, you know, look, there are 6 days to do this. You don't have to do this on the Sabbath." And what they did, because of their rules, if it was an emergency for life, then you could do it. But this woman had this thing for 18 years. You can wait another day. That's how they thought of it. You don't have to do it today. So the Lord answered and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? You take your animals out of the stall. You give them a walk. You take them to water. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound 18 years long, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said this, and when he said this, all the opponents were being humiliated, all his opponents, and the crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. So he won the approval of the crowd, and the people who were opposing him were like, embarrassed because, you hypocrites, you actors, you pretenders, you take an ox out. Now in Luke chapter 14, it happened, this is now in verse 1, "And it happened when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread. They were watching him closely." Now, here's Jesus. He'd broken so many rules, they're all their rules. He lets his disciples pick the grain. He just, and he's been healing on the Sabbath. And so they're watching him. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers, the Pharisees, and he said, Jesus now answers the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" Now Jesus is asking them. There they are. But they did not answer. They kept silent. Best way is, I'm not going to answer the question. And he took hold of the man and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" Now, there are different translations, have an ass or an ox, a donkey or an ox. But the older manuscripts use the word son. So a lot of people don't, so various translations change it, but the New American Standard Version has son. "Which one of you?" Let me read that in the Common English Bible. This is Luke chapter 14, verse 5. He said to them, "Suppose your child or your ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out?" But they would not reply to that answer. So he's opposing. You notice how a lot of debates are done with questions? Well, what do you do about this? Well, suppose this happened. What would you do about that? And they won't answer the question, because to answer that question, it's like I'm trapped here. Trapped, so I don't want to answer. Now, when you take away regulations, you see, one of the powers that the synagogue officials, the Pharisees had, the dominant religious leaders had, one of the powers religious leaders have is regulations. One of the powers that government has are regulations. The more regulations they can place, the more control they have. Is that correct? Over your life? This law, this regulation, you can't do this, you can't do that, you must do this, you must not do that, the more they have, the greater the control. And when you take regulations away from government or from institutions or organizations, you are taking their power away. And they hate that. And they will fight that. And they will strive to stop that. Because that's where they get their power, that they can enforce on you by regulation. Now Jesus said, look, if you knew what this meant, if you knew what it meant when Hosea wrote the phrase, I would like to have mercy. I prefer mercy and not... Let's take a look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. For I delight in loyalty, says one translation, New American Translation. But the word is chesed. It's the Hebrew word for mercy or covenant mercy, covenant loyalty, and a person in the New Testament translated mercy, caring, this compassion. I delight in this special thing that comes out of you rather than sacrifice. Now, that's the only part Jesus quoted, but the rest of Hosea 6 and verse 6 goes, and I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, you can come with burnt offerings, but which is more important, the knowledge of God or burnt offerings? Which is more important, your feeling of covenant mercy and love and compassion or sacrifices? God doesn't want the sacrifices. Now notice the difference in them. You listen closely. Look closely. By the way, the one that's translated hesed, that word is translated deeds of devotion, devout, faithfulness, favor, goodness, kindness, loveliness, loving kindness. It's translated many ways. It's translated 176 times in the King James loving kindness. It's translated loyal deeds, loyalty, mercies, mercy, unchanging love. All of those are what? They're internal places. They're inside you. Notice the difference. Sacrifices are external. Mercy is internal. Offerings, burnt offerings, are external. The knowledge of God is internal. Jesus said, if you knew what was important to God, if you knew what this means when Hosea said, I delight in loving kindness and mercy, not rather than sacrifice. If you knew that, you wouldn't be so picky condemning something that's external, like picking a few grains of wheat on the Sabbath. If you understood that the knowledge of God is more important than external sacrifice and burnt offerings, then you would not have condemned the innocent. Now, in Matthew's gospel, at the end of that passage, where David took the showbread, if you understood what this means, that's what he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And then in Mark's gospel, at the end of it, he doesn't quote that. He uses Jesus' words, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for us, humans, not us. We're not here to serve the Sabbath. There are a lot of people that serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve us, to be a day of rest for us. For our, and it's a day of worship for God, congregational worship. You say, well, I can worship God any day. Well, that's true. Of course you can. You can worship God tomorrow. There's no, just because it's Sunday doesn't mean you can't worship God. Of course you can worship God. You can pray to God. You can bless God's name. You can sing praises to God. You can do all kinds of things. But congregational worship was ordained the Holy Sabbath day for that day. That's what Jesus did. That's what the apostles did. So Jesus is trying to get this through to them. Now, Jesus did have a penchant for skipping over Moses and going to the beginning. You remember when they came to him, and this is in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 3. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? He answered them and said, have you not read that he that created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So they no longer are two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And they said to him, well, then why did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not that way. It was not this way. So it was not this way. God created one man, one woman. He did not create a divorce situation here. Now, what Jesus did, he skipped back past Moses. Where did most of these regulations of the strictness of the Sabbath come from? When God rested on the Sabbath with Adam and Eve, he just rested on that day and made it holy, blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. There is no record for Adam and Eve, for Abraham, for Jacob, for Isaac, of any statement of here are the do's and don'ts that you can do on the seventh day. There was no record of that. And when we read the Apostle Paul's writings, when you read Paul's letters, now he wrote a number of letters. They're all right here in the New Testament. There are 14 of them. And Paul writes to the Galatians. He writes to the Ephesians. He writes to the Romans. He writes to the Corinthians. And in some of those letters, he lists a whole list of all the things, you know, you shouldn't do. Here are the things, if you do these things, and here are the works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, you know, drunkenness, lasciviousness, murder, evil thoughts, and so on. He gives a list of all these things. Romans, he says it. 1 Corinthians, he says it. Ephesians, he talks about the various things that, you know, I don't want you to do this. Have you noticed? Have you thought about it? There is not one paragraph. I'll go further. There is not one sentence. I'll go even further. There is not one word to these Gentile churches about violations of the Sabbath day. He does not say, you know, I heard over there in the Corinthians that some of you people were picking fruit on the Sabbath day. Hey, I heard that these Gentiles, you need to straighten them out. It's what they're allowed to do on the Sabbath day. I didn't see one word in 14 epistles about the Sabbath day. Now, he does say that in the book of Hebrews, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Yeah, there remains a Sabbath rest, and that goes into the millennium as well as today. But the Sabbath rest. But Paul doesn't mention one word about violations of the Sabbath. And you say, well, now I've had this argument given to me. That's because they all knew about the Sabbath. He didn't have to say that because they all knew about the Sabbath. They all knew how to keep it. But they didn't know about murder. But they didn't know about adultery. But they didn't know about drunkenness. But they didn't know about orgies. They didn't know about reveling. They didn't know about, you know, absconding with people's funds. They didn't know about stealing. They didn't know, and he talks about that too. They didn't know about that. Please, don't pull my leg on this. Don't say something that's absurd. Because that is just not the case. So here's the question. What is rest? People will quote the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Remember Isaiah, it's a beautiful thing. It actually is a beautiful passage. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. When I was keeping the Sabbath by myself, I didn't call it a delight. I call it a day I couldn't wait for the sun to go down Saturday night. And I felt free. Every little word I said, everything I did was, is this too much? Did I do this wrong? And I look at it. And, of course, my brother Gary makes fun of me. He said, well, Dave, you were such a Pharisee. I said, what do you mean? He said, Dad and I are watching the baseball game on Saturday afternoon, and you back into the room with your back to the TV set so you don't even look at it on the Sabbath. Well, yes, okay, guilty as charged. Because what did I know? I didn't know. What am I supposed to do? What is work? I was confused. I had my own set of rules and regulations. But this is a beautiful passage. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the eternal, honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own words, then you will delight in the eternal and will make your ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the eternal has spoken it. Now some people get the idea, well, pleasure, I can't have anything that's pleasurable. Well, when I eat this one, this food, I really like it, so it's very pleasurable. I can't have that on the Sabbath. I can't have any pleasure on the Sabbath. I can't have everything that feels good on the Sabbath. I can't. The word pleasure here means pleasures in purposes apart from God. Taking pleasure in purposes apart, that is outside of the realm of God. Doing your, pursuing your, for instance, your complete business on the Sabbath. Pursuing your reveling, your drunkenness, your other things apart from the, apart from God on the Sabbath. But most of us have our being in God. We live and breathe in God. God is like everywhere for us, is he not? Does God's love just envelop us from day to day completely? Is his spirit not in us and with us? Doesn't God guide us and direct us? Of course. Now, in Old Testament times, when God dealt with Israel as a nation, as a group, as a people, today he's dealing with you and me individually. When you deal with a group, you have to have a law that takes care of most of the issues of a group. When you deal with people individually, then you can make, you can tailor make your issues. There are exceptions to almost everything when you talk to somebody who's an individual. But when you're making a law for everybody, you make one thing that goes for everybody, and you can't deal with it. You can't have a lot of exceptions when you're dealing with a group. Otherwise, you just have chaos. But see, God knows us. God knows the number of hair on your head. God knows your thoughts. God is working with you intimately. God knows you. So is there one rule for all of us on the Sabbath? Is there one way to rest? The Sabbath was made for man, Jesus said, and Christ Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the boss of it. He's the owner of the Sabbath. Did he say any rules on the Sabbath? Did he give you a list of do's and don'ts about the Sabbath? What did Jesus do on the Sabbath? Well, he came and he went to the synagogue and went to church on the Sabbath. He came to Nazareth where he was brought up, and as was his custom, he entered in the synagogue and he stood up to read. What did Jesus refuse to do on the Sabbath? Is there any place in the whole New Testament that tells you what Jesus refused? I won't do that. Nope, I'm not walking that far. Nope, I'm not going over there. No, they called me to see Simon's mother-in-law or whatever. I ain't going over there. No, I'm not going to do it today. Not going to do it. What did Jesus ever refuse to do on the Sabbath? Do we have any record of Jesus correcting his disciples when they say, well, hey Jesus, let's walk on down there. And Jesus, well, no, that's too far. We can't walk that far. We can't do that on the Sabbath. Or did Jesus say, hey, you guys, look what you're doing on the Sabbath. They cut that out. This is a Sabbath day. You can't do that. Where do we have any record of Jesus making directives, prohibitions, rules, and regulations for the Sabbath day, though he was the ruler of it? Jesus and his apostles did congregate on the Sabbath day. That is true. That is absolutely true. Is there one rule for what is rest? What's rest for you? Now, you know, I pretty much read and sit in my office because I don't do manual work. That's not my job. Most of my job consists of I read a lot of books and I read stuff and I study course for Sabbath services and sermons, and I study and read for my psychology stuff, and I have to keep up 36 hours every 2 years of continuing education, and I have to read a lot of other stuff, and I read stuff on health and this. I sit and read a lot. And then my job is to talk to people, and I sit with them and talk to them. I'm a psychologist and I talk to people. So you're telling me, you know what you need to do on the Sabbath day, David, to rest? Sit down and read. Well, that isn't rest for me. That's what I do the other days of the week. How do you tell me what to do on the Sabbath to rest? Is that rest for me? I'm doing what I do every day. Why can't I go out and pick some oranges? Why can't I go out and pick some flowers? Why can't I go out and pull a few weeds? That would be more restful for me. But you say, no, David, today's the Sabbath. You just sit down all day and rest and relax and just read, study and read and study and read and study and read. And of course, take a nap. But that's you're telling me that's what rest. Now, I don't know what rest is for you. I don't know what it is for you. How can I tell you what to do that's rest for you or restful? The Sabbath day is a day of rest, but how are you going to tell everybody else what to do? So this has to be tailor-made. God has made it. And you can't condemn somebody else for what they think is restful. And you remember the list of 21 questions I asked? I said, how many had a why? Here a bunch of hands go up. How many had an N? How many had a yes? How many had a no? How many had a yes? And how many of those questions did we have a division of what some of you thought was right to do or wrong to do on the Sabbath? Because everybody has to tailor it to themselves. I'm not challenging your position. I'm not going to say, you shouldn't have said that. I'm not going to challenge that. And we're not making any hard and fast rules for you. What we do know is that the Sabbath is God's day and holy day, the seventh day. That's the day that's why we congregate as a congregation, praise God's name, bless God, learn God's word, understand more about God, try to spend our day in communion with God. But I don't say it was Sunday now, I don't commune with God, right? I don't say it's Monday, I don't commune with God. I only commune with God once a day a week. Then I'll be like a lot of Christian people, right? A lot of so-called Christians. They go one day a week and that's it, leave God behind. When they close the church door, God, they lock God in. Off they go. Jesus and the apostles congregated on the seventh day Sabbath. The visible church of the New Testament times observe the Sabbath day for over 300 years. Over 300 years you had people resting on the seventh day of the week. Many going to church. Until the Council of Laodicea that took place in 363-364 AD. At that council, by that time, the church had grown in Gentile powers, and a lot of Gentiles were invited in. Constantine just brought in the pagans. Come on in, you know, bring your traditions, bring your... It doesn't matter, did you worship that, use that with the sun god? Okay, we can turn that into the son of God. And that's it. Come on in, we worship of Astarte, that's fine, come on in, come on in. So here came the pagans, and the church turned anti-Semitic. Though Jesus was a Jew, the early church apostles were Jews, that all the first century churches were Jewish until they reached out to the Gentile world. Now, all of a sudden, anti-Semitism had gripped the visible church. And at the Council of Laodicea, they put out a bunch of rules called canons, C-A-N-O-N, canons. A canon meant a rule. Canon number 29 read like this: Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day. So if you claim to be a Christian, the visible church under the Roman Empire said, you better work Saturdays. Rather, honoring the Lord's Day, which they believed Sunday. And if they can, resting then as Christians. But listen to this last part of this canon. But if any man, anyone, shall be found to be Judaizers, let them be anathema from Christ. Anathema from Christ. That is cut off. Cut off from Christ. Condemned. And here's another statement. Canon number 37. It is not lawful to receive unleavened bread from the Jews. So, Jews are having the days of unleavened bread, and they say, hey, would you like to have a matzos? Would you like? It's unlawful. Imagine, unlawful for a person claiming to be a Christian to receive a unleavened bread from the Jews, nor to be partakers of their impiety. The fact that they didn't believe in Christ considered them impious. It is not lawful to receive portions sent from the feasts of the Jews or heretics. Or heretics. Anybody who's a heretic, meaning they don't follow what we have decided in this canon, this list of rules and don'ts and do's and don'ts, are heretics. Nor to feast together with them. It is unlawful to receive portions sent from the feasts of the Jews, nor to feast together with them. So at that point, enforcement by the authorities took place to make Sabbath observance illegal, anathema, and heretical. Now, what's rest for you? You must determine for yourself whether you are calling the Sabbath a delight and are using it to the benefit, to your benefit, and to God's glory. But don't make rules for someone else. We are all God's people. The Bible calls us holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The Sabbath was made for man. And when you know what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. At that point, you will not be judging one another. You will make your own decisions. You will live in clear conscience before God, what you do on the Sabbath and how you rest on it.